I'm gonna jump on into the Right Side Way monologue here today. And this past Saturday's shooting at the Trump rally in Butler County, Pennsylvania, it was, in my opinion, it was one of those generational moments. It was the kind that everyone takes note of. Everyone has thoughts and emotions related to. Everyone can generally recall where they were when they learned of it. But before going into my thoughts about the broader crime and President Trump himself, I want to make special note that there was an innocent supporter that was killed at the event, and another was wounded. Two people were wounded. Three people and their families and friends had their lives altered and even ended simply because they chose to support a man who had already overwhelmingly been supported by millions of other voters in a competitive Republican primary, just exercising their First Amendment rights. And their lives have now been altered, and one of them has been ended. God bless them. Let's not forget their legacy in the middle of everything else. With that said, I want to address one key aspect of the shooting in Pennsylvania. 5 months ago, I did a monologue right here on the show, exactly 5 months to the day before Trump was shot. And I called that monologue Bull Moose Gravitas. And it fits what we just saw now more than ever. I decided it needed to be refreshed in light of what we saw Saturday at the Trump rally. So yes, President Trump was shot Saturday, everybody knows that now, while giving a speech as normal as any of the hundreds he's given in the last decade. As the sound of the shots rang out, he noticeably grabbed the right side of his head from what we now know to have been a 5.56 round that creased his ear. Just millimeters of space saved his life. Secret Service converged on the president as he dropped to the stage floor, but in a moment that will remain frozen in time, we watched him come to his feet, and over the heads of the protective detail, he shook his fist in the air, and no less than three times he yelled, "Fight!" It was an epic moment, maybe even a defining moment. In one split second, everything was devastating, but the response from Trump was exactly what the world needed right there at that time. It was command presence, y'all. It was leadership. And look, a leader's presence matters a lot. I've said before that sometimes it's important that not only does the person in charge provide good decision-making and quality management and care for his or her people, but that the leader is also able to inspire others. Look, the ancient Romans, they looked to certain characteristics. They even gave them names, like pietas, which denoted a regard for discipline and authority, or virtus, which had connotations of valor and masculinity and excellence and courage and strong character. And then there was gravitas, which meant that somebody was sincere and carried themselves with authority. The Romans actually took all three of those, pietas, virtus, and gravitas, and they wrapped them all up into one thing, one saying, called romanitas, which was like saying that if someone wanted to represent Rome to the world, then these characteristics needed to be evident. In other words, they saw their leaders as being representative of who they are as a people, not the other way around. I've said before that in the military we do call it command presence. It involves the actual person of the leader, not their resume, not any number of medals on their chest, not how loud they can yell, or what position they currently hold. When a military unit has a leader that carries command presence, it implies the troops look to that person because they embody what the junior ranks want to be like. They see the charisma, the strength of personality, the self-confidence, and individual magnetism that a leader projects. When that leader walks into a room, people know it. When someone gives an order, it's not uncommon for them to use the commander's name because it carries actual weight. That kind of leadership presence is pretty elusive, to be honest. It's hard to pinpoint. It can certainly be developed, but it also is sometimes just inherent in the character of the person who has it. I have to ask if maybe the Romans had it right. Romanitas, the idea that a leader should embody what we as a people want to be seen as by the rest of the world. I mean, when the leaders of other nations see our current president, do they see America? Who are we? Are we still rough and ready? Are we industrious cowboys? Are we maverick innovators? Are we the nation who can be counted on? Are we the nation who answers the call of our friends and tells the bullies of the world to back off? Are we a nation that has actual gravitas? And if so, shouldn't our leadership reflect that? So yeah, going back to my opening, I said that I had done a monologue 5 months ago, 5 months to the day that Trump was shot. One of my favorite moments of presidential gravitas is what I talked about during that monologue. It occurred just over 111 years ago. In 1910, Teddy Roosevelt was vying to become president for a third term. He had just lost a heated primary at a contested Republican convention. But populism was with Roosevelt. So in classic Roosevelt fashion, he formed his own party. Roosevelt, man, he's a force of nature. He was a personality that could not be contained. You like him or not, Roosevelt definitely had command presence. He was the embodiment of American gravitas. So on October 14th of 1912, Roosevelt stepped out of his hotel in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He got into an open-topped car to take the short drive to an auditorium where he was scheduled to give a campaign speech. Crowds waited outside the hotel. They cheered loudly as he came out. So in classic Roosevelt fashion, he stood up in the back of his town car to wave at the crowd. But unbeknownst to everyone there, there was a man named John Schrank, who believed that a former dead president had told him in a dream that he had to kill Roosevelt. He was waiting there with a .38 caliber pistol. John Schrank shot Roosevelt in the chest at close range, as close as a few feet. But Roosevelt had a copy of his speech, a pretty lengthy speech, and his eyeglass case in his chest pocket, and they helped slow the bullet down somewhat. Nonetheless, Roosevelt was knocked down. The bullet entered his chest cavity. But the recounting of the event doesn't stop there. It's said that Roosevelt himself saw the crowd about to beat the shooter, who was obviously out of his mind, and Roosevelt, just having been shot, intervened and shouted down the angry mob, saying, "He doesn't know what he's doing. Don't strike the poor creature." The Library of Congress, recounting of the event, says that the injured and bleeding Roosevelt himself was, quote, able to restore order to the chaos at the scene before the police arrived and took Schrank into custody. But listen, at that point, Roosevelt insisted on going on to give the speech. He didn't go to the hospital. He did. He went and gave the speech while bleeding profusely through his clothes, and he spoke with vigor and energy for nearly an hour and a half. And it was only after the speech that Roosevelt, who had become wobbly from loss of blood, was taken to a hospital. Roosevelt was asked later by reporters how he was doing. "I'm as fit as a bull moose," he said. At that point, the phrase caught on, and going forward, that third-party run became known as the Bull Moose Party. Teddy Roosevelt, a man who had led the Rough Riders up San Juan Hill in the Spanish-American War, he became even more legendary. He was a rough-and-ready, take-no-prisoners kind of guy. His charisma wound up becoming more popular than the Republican President Taft, who had bested him at the convention. The Bull Moose Party with Teddy Roosevelt actually carried more states than Taft's Republicans. But unfortunately for both of them, it did serve as a spoiler candidacy, and it opened up the door to Democrat Woodrow Wilson. But Bull Moose Roosevelt, that's also the reason why Woodrow Wilson won the election with the lowest percentage of the popular vote in U.S. history at just 42%. Y'all, it was gravitas. The people could care less what the establishment of the day wanted at the convention. They wanted some Bull Moose gravitas. He embodied what the majority of Americans wanted their country to be known as. People want a leader who inspires confidence. I would also say that the people of this great nation, right now, today, deserve a leader that will inspire confidence. Someone who, even when we don't agree on policies, can effectively articulate their position. Someone who leads us to believe that if a fast-paced, dangerous situation arose in the dark of night, that they would be able to respond quickly, resolutely, effectively. Someone who leads us to believe that they have a plan that involves the greater good. Look, policies are huge. They are. They're very key. But you can set aside Biden's policies right now and just think. Just focus for a second on the man who currently sits in the Oval Office. Just the man. You tell me, would you follow him anywhere? Command presence, gravitas, it's a thing. It matters. It's missing right now. We need some Bull Moose gravitas. And I'll be honest with you, I think this past Saturday, as he stood and shook his fist with blood streaming down his face, I'm pretty sure for that particular moment we can say that Donald Trump was exhibiting Bull Moose gravitas. So God bless President Trump. God bless America. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. There you have it. Bull Moose gravitas. It's real. There's some irony, too. When we get back from this break, I'll tell you about some irony as that story relates to events of today. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.